Most importantly, though, guests here in our studio, and welcome back to the program for another chat about coronavirus. Quincy Health Commissioner Ruth Jones. Hey, Ruth.
How are you?
Okay.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming over.
Sure.
It's the talk of the town and the world.
It is right now.
So,
it really is.
Yeah. Good to get you to shed some light, at least on what's going on locally.
Yeah. So locally, we're doing very well. We have no cases of coronavirus, and everybody, I'm sure, is aware it's referred to as COVID-19 now. We have no cases in Quincy. We have been from the beginning, probably since the beginning of February, per guidance and recommendation through State Department of Public Health and CDC, we monitor those residents that live in our city that came back from China and Iran originally. And so we've been doing that, and they're required to self-isolate for 14 days. Our office gets the names of these residents from the Mass Department of Public Health. The nurses contact the residents, and we have a sheet that we fill out. They're to do their temperature twice a day, monitor their symptoms, and originally we were calling them every day, and now we're calling them these people three times a week. Many have finished the 14-day self-isolation. We haven't had anybody that has had any symptoms, has had any elevations in temperature. Right now, presently, we're monitoring about 35 people. It changes on a daily basis because some finish their 14-day, and then we might get one or two new residents coming in. So those are the people that we've been monitoring right along from China and Iran.
Okay.
A few days ago, the governor had a press conference regarding coronavirus, and they upped the level of travel risk for some other countries, including Italy and South Korea. So Italy, South Korea, China, and Iran are all at level 3. Japan is presently at level 2. And so what that means is anybody coming back from Italy or South Korea needs to self-isolate for 14 days, check their temperatures, check their symptoms, and if they have an issue, they need to call the health department. We are not getting specifically the names of those people per the right now per MDPH, but we have put some information on our website for people coming back from Italy and South Korea regarding what they need to do and some phone numbers if they need a little bit of guidance. When they get off the plane from any of those two countries, they're given information and guidance on what they're supposed to do.
Okay. So. All right. So it's kind of up to them then, really.
It really is in these two countries.
Yeah.
We're still monitoring those from China and Iran, and we're getting the names of those people.
Okay.
I'm not sure why the difference in the way it's being monitored.
Curious,
we've called the state, and they're not really sure why.
Oh, okay.
The difference either. My assumption might be because there was so many cases in China and Iran that they want to monitor it a little bit closely.
Okay.
But we have had no problem with people cooperating with the self-monitoring and the self-isolation. So it's worked out very well. It's busy for the health department, obviously, because the nurses are constantly. And we are getting some of these cases names on weekends and evenings, so it's it's a challenge.
Yeah, you don't have a big staff.
Yeah,
we
don't, but they're doing a great job.
Great,
our nurses, our outreach workers that translate. They're doing a great job. So right now we're doing well.
Okay.
In Quincy. Yeah.
It sounds like it's just a lot of the same protocols for the flu or any other virus.
It really is,
yeah.
And I like to keep this in perspective.
Yeah.
I think some of the numbers you had given out earlier that globally. Cases of coronavirus throughout the world are around 98,000. In the United States, there's 32 million, not thousand, cases of influenza just in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I like to keep those numbers in a comparison because you have to keep things in a perspective.
Right. Yeah.
And coronavirus is very similar to other viruses that we've had, including influenza. So the measures that you're taking to avoid influenza are going to help you if there were coronavirus there.
Right.
You know, we need to kind of keep that in mind and keep that all in perspective.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, you know, once this is all said and done, if all these precautions and protocols will help lower cases of the flu.
It may, because people are washing their hands much better.
Right.
Actually, people are washing their hands the way they're supposed to be washing their hands, which is 20 seconds. And if you don't know how long that is, it's two courses of happy birthday. Yep. We say that all the time. We've been saying
You've been saying that for years.
For 20 years, saying, go in the bathroom, wash your hands, sing two courses of happy birthday, and see how long that is, because most of us don't wash our hands enough.
Right.
And it's funny from what I'm seeing people saying, geez, everybody's washing their hands a little bit better. That's a good thing for everything.
That's right.
So one good thing came out of this is hand washing is getting done a
little bit more. If they'd only listened to you 20 years ago.
That's right. Maybe this will get their attention.
Yeah. But even on some of the national news broadcasts, they're actually doing the demonstration and singing happy birthday.
Yes, and it's a really good way for you to figure out how long you have to wash your hands.
Yeah.
Because we all should be doing that every day.
And the other things, you know, cover your mouth when you cough and sneeze and stay home when you're sick.
Stay home when you're sick. Yeah. You know, you can use, you know, we get a lot of questions about hand sanitizers.
Oh, yeah.
Hand sanitizers are okay to use in between, but they don't take the place of hand washing. Most hand sanitizers are great killing bacteria, but not viruses.
Okay.
They can make your hands a less happy place for viruses to live, and so they fall off. But they really don't kill the viruses. So, yes, hand sanitizer is good in between. Mm-hmm. You go to the supermarket, you have hand sanitizer in your car.
Right.
You know, use that in between. Try to keep your hands away from your eyes and your nose and your mouth because that's how germs get into your respiratory system.
Yeah.
And then when you get home, wash your hands.
Okay.
Really good with soap and water for 20 seconds.
It's all the same things.
Yeah, it is. It's the same things we've been talking about.
So, you know, why this time is there such, you know, as almost panic, really, in some cases?
I think, well, you know, when I was looking back at other things like bird flu, you know, SARS and all the different, you know, episodes that we've had of different things. And I think one of the things now is that we have much more avenues of social media.
Okay.
So everybody has immediate information about everything, and everything seems to be breaking news nowadays. And I understand that. That's how, you know, news stations get people to watch their news.
Mm.
And I think it's great that people have information, but I think many people get panicked about, you know, outbreak or breaking news that you
see. Deadly virus.
And the
flu is a deadly virus.
Well, and if you're looking at statistics, when you look at coronavirus and the fatality rate, it started off at like 1%, and then it's up to 3%.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many cases that we think have gone unreported in other countries that when you get all the, if they were testing everybody in all these other countries, the amount of cases, you'd see probably that percentage would be much, much lower.
Okay.
So the numbers that we're getting from other countries are not really valid numbers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can't really put a lot of trust in what they're saying, percent fatality, because we think it's much lower.
And it's not a death sentence, right? If you get it.
Well, let's look at it this way. Yeah. With influenza, it affects all ages, and kids have been hit pretty hard the last couple of years with influenza. Coronavirus doesn't seem to hit anybody under 15.
Hmm.
The highest risk are people over 65 with underlying health issues, and you're seeing a lot of deaths in Washington State in that nursing home.
Yes.
These are very frail people that have a lot of health issues, that are elderly, and those people are always at higher risk for viruses and for fatalities from these type of things. So we're lucky that this does not seem to be affecting children.
Yeah.
So again, when you compare it with influenza, kids have been hit hard with influenza the past couple of years. This coronavirus doesn't seem to be doing that, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, okay.
If you're seeing schools closed, I think the whole rationale behind school closings in some of the other countries is to make sure that the kids aren't maybe bringing the virus home, even though it's not affecting them, bringing the virus home to elders or parents or whatever. So it's an effort to stop the spread of it, but not so much for kids, because kids aren't getting it that we know of.
Okay.
And there's lots of cases around, I'm sure, that are mild cases, you know, that people aren't getting really sick, and they may be missing cases around the world. But the testing is increasing now as this goes on. So I would tell people not to be alarmed.
Okay.
If you see an increase in cases, Because if you have an increase in testing, you're going to see an increase in cases.
Makes sense. If you go looking for it, you're going to find it. Right,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so I would caution people to get all worked up if they see more cases.
Okay.
It's only because there's more testing.
All right. So, what are some of the symptoms, I guess, of coronavirus to be aware of?
Sure. Yeah. So the things that we look at in our people that we're monitoring, self-monitoring, is an increase in temperature. And if your temperature is over 100.4, they need to notify us.
Okay.
Symptoms of cough. We said the fever, sore throat.
Okay.
They can have muscle aches. They can have nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. And when you look at those symptoms, there's symptoms of probably a million other things
right.
that we say could be around this time of year, including influenza.
Yeah.
So it gets a little confusing as to what do they have. And
right.
oftentimes if someone is ill, physicians will test for influenza because we do have a rapid test for influenza
okay.
available at most clinics and hospitals and doctor's office. And rule out. They'll rule out other things.
I see.
Things.
Okay.
The State Department of Public Health is still, if you have a person that you, if you're a doctor or a clinic or a hospital, you need to contact the State Department of Public Health or the local public health to make sure that that person fits the criteria to be tested.
If they've been abroad, but basically.
Right.
Yeah.
You
okay.
look at their travel
yeah.
situation.
Okay.
Now, they have been in other cities, in other states. There have been cases where they think it is community acquired, where the person had no travel history, but still had symptoms and,
yeah.
and you know, tested positive for it. Again, not in Quincy,
right.
but in other
okay.
in other parts of the country. So we would expect that there probably is some community acquired, you know, so that the travel history, you ask it,
mm-hmm.
If it's ruled out and the person still has it, then you would assume it might be community acquired
mm-hmm.
or contact with a case, you know, you have to really feel that out when you're doing your
I
investigation.
See. Okay.
But I think all in all that we're very low risk still
mm-hmm.
in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
And I don't see that risk increasing rapidly
yeah.
Right now. But I would not be alarmed, and I would not be surprised if we see cases in many cities.
Okay.
We could in Quincy.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what
yeah.
what if that does happen?
It could.
Yeah.
And it could. And so we are notified.
Yeah.
You know, we work very closely with the Mass Department of Public Health.
Sure.
And if someone were to fit the criteria of being tested, we are in contact with the state. They get a particular, they're then referred to as a person under investigation. They get a person under investigation number from the State Department of Public Health and from the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
They are tested, and we are lucky enough to have the Jamaica Plain State Lab in Jamaica Plain doing the testing.
Oh,
so
okay.
They can be swabbed at a doctor's office or at a hospital. The kit goes to Jamaica Plain. We usually would get a result in probably within a 12-hour period.
Wow, that's
from
quick.
Jamaica
okay.
They're really doing them pretty quick.
Yeah.
If that were a positive result, then that is what they consider a presumptive case.
Gotcha.
We presume that they're positive, but the result still has to be verified by the CDC, so it's then sent to Atlanta, Georgia
mm-hmm.
to be verified, which takes a couple of days.
Okay.
So
right.
that's the way it's done right now.
Okay.
They're hoping to get more kits locally
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
that the turnover time would be quicker. However, I just heard this morning that Mike Pence was saying that we may not have enough kits to do that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So the guidance from Mass Department of Public Health and CDC is important because if we don't have enough kits, you really want to test the people who really fit the criteria right,
right
now, because you may be missing
yes.
Cases,
yep.
you know, that might be more obvious.
Yep,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah.
I know it's, I've heard reports that it's starting to kind of get better in China where it all started.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That shows that their cases are slowing down. One of the things I heard also is that they were not just in China, but in other places. They were looking at rooms where people who had coronavirus, who were tested positive in other states and in other countries, and they were looking at the rooms and testing the rooms and saying, yeah, that there was virus particles in the rooms, but that the normal cleaning
mm-hmm.
and sanitizing eliminated
oh.
Most of those. So we know that the cleaning
mm-hmm.
that we're, you know, advising people to do, and a lot of the, you know, the schools and institutions
mm-hmm.
do this cleaning.
The MBTA is doing
yeah,
it, Logan Airport.
They're just ramping everything up
yeah.
a little bit. does work.
Okay.
And so that's
okay.
a good thing.
Yeah.
And
it's not resistant to
right.
cleaning.
Right. So the cases hopefully are starting to wane in China. So, you know, hopefully that goes across the country.
Right.
But we're not sure.
Yeah.
There's still a lot that's unknown about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's and true. I guess that's so the scary part is the unknown, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You don't know. It's a novel virus. Nobody has any immunity to it
yeah.
because it's never been here before. Unlike influenza where you get new strains every year, but there's also some old strains mixed in
yeah.
with it. So if you've either had the flu before or had a flu shot every year, which you should be doing, you have some resistance to that. We don't have that with
right.
this virus. But, you know, down the road, we may look at this in a year or two and say it's going to be a regular thing like influenza, seasonal. Hopefully
oh,
we'll have a,
okay.
you know, hopefully we'll have a vaccination for that, and
yeah.
it'll be very similar to influenza.
Gotcha.
So we don't know that.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You know, it's stay tuned.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, and the and I think the incubation period is a little bit scary for folks. You know, it's 14 days. So, I mean, you don't know if somebody is
right.
sick. Yeah.
And originally there were thoughts that well could they pass this even before they get symptoms?
Right.
We still don't know.
Don't
that,
even know that. Okay.
But it looks like from what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
All throughout the world, that the most infectious period is when they're experiencing symptoms
okay.
themselves. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we have other diseases like measles that are infectious for a while before in,
right.
in the air, and the measles germ stays in the air for you know, 2 to 6 hours
yeah.
in certain places. So we don't know specifically, but
mm-hmm.
from what they're looking at, it looks like when that person has most of the symptoms, that's when they appear to be most infectious.
Okay.
So
right.
that's a good thing.
Okay.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Face masks, Ruth, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Face masks. yeah. So, you know, we're experiencing in the healthcare field shortage of face masks now. Our first responders have shortage of these masks. Our hospitals, our doctor's offices, the health department, we are limited to the amount of masks that we can get.
Mm.
And right now we can't get any more than what we have.
Really?
It's being rationed.
Okay.
We have a supply,
yeah.
but not a big supply because you can't keep them that long. They expire.
I see.
So this is my spiel about face masks, which is the same for CDC and Mass Department of Public Health, that face masks worn by the general public is not appropriate. You see people walking around with those flat surgical masks. First of all, that's not going to help you because particles will go right through. Virus particles will go right through those surgical masks.
There you go.
So it's not going to help you.
Okay.
You're wearing that mask. And oftentimes you see people wearing it under their nose, which is useless anyways.
Okay.
You have to cover your mouth and nose to not breathe in things.
Okay.
But those masks are really not going to provide anybody protection. N95 masks, which... they call them N95 because they filter out 95% of the particulates in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what healthcare workers use, first responders use, are the N95 masks. They are not, again, for the general public because they don't filter out everything. They don't offer you 100% protection.
Okay.
And they should be put on, masks should be put on the person who's ill. So someone coming into a doctor's office, a hospital, might
mm-hmm.
be given one of those flat surgical masks to be put on.
They have them in the reception desks
right.
at the hospitals.
And it's
yeah.
because they don't want you coughing and sneezing on people around you and spreading your germs.
Gotcha.
The mask is for the sick person, and the N95s are for healthcare personnel, first responders. Unfortunately, people went wild getting all, and there's a we're being rationed.
Yeah.
And so that's not a good thing.
Okay.
So please, people, stop wearing masks, general public, stop wearing masks. If you have to go to the doctors and they give you a mask to put on, absolutely, if you're ill.
Yeah.
If you're ill and you feel you need to wear a mask in general in the general public, you should be contacting your healthcare provider or calling an emergency room. And we tell you not to just go
right.
To your doctor's office, not to just go to the emergency room. Call them first and tell them what symptoms you're having.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be able to direct you over the phone.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's all part of stopping the spread of any
okay.
any communicable disease.
All right. So it's really a lot of the same guidance.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is. I just want people to calm down.
Okay.
Your local health department is working on this 24/7 in all cities and towns around here. We have things under control. We have had team meetings with all our city departments, with the school where we're in. close contact with our schools and colleges and giving them guidance on some of the school trips being canceled.
Oh, right, yes.
Because oftentimes the school trips this time of year.
Yep.
And some of the people coming back and who needs to be self-isolated. But I think, in general, Quincy is doing a great job, and we have no cases, so that's good. But if a case comes up, don't get excited. You know, we'll handle it.
Okay. Yeah, I know you were just at the school committee meeting this week. You're going to the city council meeting next week.
Just give an update.
Sure.
So a lot of great communication throughout the city.
Yeah.
And that's good.
That is
good. Because you need to communicate.
Some changes at the health department.
Yes. Yeah. We just started yesterday, our late evening at the Quincy Health Department. Something new that we're trying on Thursdays. The health department is now going to be open until 7:30 at night. So this allows for our inspectors to do some evening inspections if they need to. It gives a little leeway for people, homeowners and landlords, if they need to contact the health department and have an inspection done, that maybe they don't have to take the day off from work and they can schedule it when they get home.
Yeah.
It allows our health inspectors to be out there at night doing some inspections of restaurants and looking at dumpsters and making sure things are going well at night. And we have a secretary and a nurse also in the office on Thursday evenings till 7:30, so people could come in to apply for permits and things like that. So anything that we do during the day can pretty much be done in that evening. So we just started it. So every Thursday night, health department will open at 8:30 as we normally do and stay open on Thursday nights till 7:30.
Very good.
Please call us or come by if you need something done after hours.
Okay. Yeah. What's the good phone number, Ruth?
Our main phone number is 617-376, and it's either 1273 or 1274. That's our main number.
Okay.
My direct line, if anybody needs to talk to me, 617-376-1272.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope. Just hang in there with us. Things are good.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for coming by.
Thank
really appreciate it. Pleasure.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Call anytime. We'll get you in here no matter
Joe.
When.
Appreciate
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well,